Hello and welcome to the Erwin Mitchell podcast. I'm Richard, one of the partners in our London Medical Negligence team, and I'll be your host today. The series is dedicated to raising awareness about Group B strep in pregnancy, prevention, and what to look out for after birth. Group B strep is the most common cause of severe infection in newborns in the UK. Around two babies every day develop a GBS infection, and sadly, about one baby a week dies from it. We'll be sharing both expert knowledge and personal experiences to help families feel informed and supported. In today's episode, we're delighted to be joined by Jane Plum, the founder and CEO of Group B Strep Support, and Alexander Highfield, a lawyer at Erwin Mitchell, who is currently pregnant and a GBS carrier. Together, we'll explore what GBS is, what it means to live with it during pregnancy, and the practical steps families can take to feel prepared. Jane, let's start with the basics. Can you explain what Group B strep is in simple terms?
Group B strep is a type of bacteria that live quite normally and naturally in the body, in humans and also in some animals and fish, and in humans typically in the lower intestine and the vagina. Most of the time it's completely harmless and we really don't need to know about it. It doesn't impact us. But during pregnancy and after birth, sometimes it can pass to a baby, and a baby with its immature immune system can be particularly susceptible to the bacteria, and then serious illness can follow.
Just picking up on one of the points you said there, so for people who've never come across Group B strep but suddenly find out about it in pregnancy, I'm right in what you've just said there. For them as a mother, there's not actually anything for them to worry about. Is that right?
Group B strep carriage is perfectly normal in loads and loads of people. In roughly 2 out of every 5 pregnant women and people will be carrying Group B strep. And there are no symptoms and there are no side effects. So you won't actually know you're carrying it. And carriage itself doesn't cause any harm. Carriage is when it's living, something is living in and on us without it causing any problems at all. And humans are walking germ colonies. Yeah, we have all kinds of weird and wonderful things that we carry that we don't need to know about most of the time because they're not impacting us. It's just that babies, particularly newborn babies, have a very newborn and immature immune system. So they are much more susceptible to developing infection when they're exposed to things that adults with our nice adult immune system can shrug off without a problem. But having said that, most babies who are exposed to Group B strep will be born healthy and fit and will shrug it off without a problem. Some of them, though, will unfortunately develop Group B strep infection.
So picking up on that, what are the risks to babies if GBS isn't detected or treated?
The risk period is between birth up until age 3 months. Group B strep infections after age 3 months are really quite rare. But if a baby does develop a Group B strep infections, then what tends to happen is the baby develops sepsis, which is infection of the blood, and pneumonia or meningitis. Most of those sick babies will make a full recovery. But sadly, even with the best medical care, some of those sick babies will sadly die. And some of the survivors will have long-term health issues as a result. Babies who develop Group B strep infections will need all the care that a neonatal intensive care unit usually will provide, occasionally a special care unit, or where these babies develop infection after they've been discharged, then they will need to come back into a pediatric intensive care unit probably. But you know, most of these infections can be prevented. So looking as at how we can do that is really important, and understanding how we can do that, because we can prevent most of the early onset, you know, those infections developing in the first week of life. We can prevent most of those. We can't yet prevent the later onset, which happen after age 1 week. So for those infections, it's particularly important that parents and their health professionals are aware what signs to look for, and also to seek an urgent medical review if any of them arise.
Later on, I'm going to talk a little bit and pick up about prevention and what people need to know. But before we get into that and just kind of expanding for the people listening about the differences between the two, you've just mentioned that there are two types of a group B strep, early onset and late onset. Could you just expand on that a little bit more, just to explain what the difference is and how it's defined?
Probably from a parent's perspective, you don't really need to know the difference. It's more of a medical difference. But most of the babies who develop early onset group B strep infection will typically have sepsis and pneumonia. And virtually all of the babies who develop the early onset group B strep infection will have been exposed to the bacteria from the mum, either around birth or immediately after birth. So it'll be the same type of group B strep that mum is carrying that will cause the infection in the babies. And then the late onset, which develops after the first week of life, those infections are more likely to be sepsis with meningitis. And around about half of those infections, maybe slightly more, will be the same type of group B strep that mum is carrying. But actually, the others won't be. So the other infections will be caused by a bacteria that the baby has picked up from somebody else. Obviously, it's never the mother's fault anyway. It's never anybody's fault that a baby develops a group B strep infection, because it's not like we're knowingly passing these bugs on to our babies. That's not what we do. I think it's quite interesting to understand that it can come from different sources. So even when mum is known not to be carrying group B strep during her pregnancy or during labour, it is still important to be aware of what the signs of late onset group B strep infection are, because it can still happen.
And finally, what does group B strep support do to raise awareness and support families? Tell us a little bit about how you get involved and what you do.
Well, group B strep support is a charity, and we do all we can to make sure that both expectant and new parents and their health professionals know about group B strep. So we share clear, accessible and trusted information with both groups. We campaign for better prevention. We support families affected by group B strep and families looking for more information. We have a free helpline, for example. We also provide education and resources for health professionals so that they in turn can have the latest knowledge and understanding of group B strep, so they can provide the best care to the families they're looking after. And then we do a variety of awareness campaigns, and probably the headline of that is Group B Strep Awareness Week, which happens every year in July. And that's a great way of individuals and organisations coming together to raise awareness of Group B Strep.
So to summarise so far, we've heard that GBS is common, but with the right awareness and support, families can feel more confident about managing risks. I'm going to turn to Alex now and just have a couple of questions for you. Thank you for joining us and sharing your story. Could you tell us about when you first found out that you were a carrier of GBS and how that came about?
Yes, so I actually first found out as an incidental finding on a vaginal swab. So it wasn't being tested for. I wasn't pregnant at the time, but I was contacted by my GP because they'd organised the swab. And when they were giving me the results of the swab, they also mentioned that I had tested positive for group B strep. My GP was really informative at the time. gave me advice on if I did become pregnant in the future, that I should just notify my antenatal team. But it wasn't anything that came about because I was pregnant at the time. I'd found out actually a few years before my pregnancy now.
And what were your initial thoughts or concerns when he told you? Obviously, you come from the perspective of knowing some knowledge about it, but how did you react? And
yeah, so I've always wanted children. And as you say, through my work at Owen Mitchell, I was always aware of the risks to baby if I did become pregnant and carried group B strep. So my initial concern, as I'm sure anyone's is what this might mean for future pregnancies and ensuring that my baby was going to be safe. But also, I think immediately in that call that I had from the GP was just to ask that the GP make a clear note of this on my medical records, because, as I say, this is a couple of years before I've become pregnant at this time. So I wanted to make sure that it was well documented on my notes.
And so how has being a carrier affected your pregnancy journey?
It's affected it in a couple of ways. I'm someone who's suffered previous pregnancy losses, and that combined with my work of through medical negligence and knowing the potential consequences of being a group B strep carrier meant that when I was lucky enough to fall pregnant again, I felt a bit of a self-inflicted pressure to ensure that I mentioned that I was a group B strep carrier at every antenatal appointment, just to make sure that it was as well documented as it could be. I've been really fortunate that my community midwife has beaten me to it in that sense. And she has actually mentioned that I'm a group B strep carrier each appointment before I've been able to raise it. And then she's gone on to confirm that I know that I would need antibiotics during labour, and made sure that my hospital antenatal team have also been talking to me about the plan and that I know what the plan will be. But I know that sadly that's not always the case for pregnant people and women, that their teams are so on it in bringing it up. So before I knew that my team were like that, I would say that, as I say, I felt a bit of a pressure to make sure that I was that person that was advocating for myself and making sure that they knew that I was a carrier.
Just picking up then on what you said there. So in terms of as far as you remember and you recall about what the midwife took you through, what did she say to you about the treatment that's going to happen during your pregnancy? I know it's something I'm going to pick up a bit later with Jane, but just from the perspective of what you were told.
So I was told that nothing needed to be done immediately. It wasn't anything that I needed to worry about, but it was something that would be relevant when it came to discussing my birth plans and the labour itself. And that at that point, I just needed to be aware that I would need antibiotics during the labour in order to try and protect the baby as much as possible.
What advice would you give to other expectant parents who test positive for GBS?
So I think that if you know that you carry group B strep, I'd strongly recommend mentioning it at your appointments if they don't mention it to you. I've been very lucky, as I say, to have a very communicative team who've raised this, but you can often see many different midwives and clinicians during your pregnancy. And I think that raising it at your appointments just means that at each point and each person that's involved in your care, you know, is aware that you're a carrier. I would also recommend asking questions of your team. Make sure that you fully understand what this means and what the risks are if you didn't have antibiotics during labour, just so that you can make an informed decision about what you want to do. Although my team have been very communicative about the need for antibiotics, I would say that they haven't been very open about the risks of not having antibiotics and what that may mean. I already know through my work what that may mean, but for someone who wouldn't, I would always ask questions to make sure you have all of the information. And I would also suggest taking a look at the Group B Strep Support website or reaching out to the charity if you have more questions that your team haven't or don't seem to be able to answer for you.
And Jane, could I just bring you in there? There's just a couple of points that I think would be really helpful. Obviously, with Alex's case, it was an incidental finding which wasn't to do with this specific pregnancy. So for those that are listening who are hearing about GBS for the first time, what steps should they take to find out if they are a carrier? Is it something they need to worry about if they haven't been told and they know it hasn't been checked or looked for?
Well, I think the first thing to say, if this is the first time someone's hearing about Group B strep, is don't panic. Most babies are born healthy. Even when people are carrying Group B strep. So I would absolutely, agree with things that Alex was saying. It's really important to talk to your midwife or your obstetrician about Group B strep, find out what the options are, find out whether Group B strep specific testing is available or not. Current guidelines from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists are that if you tested positive in a previous pregnancy, although that's often interpreted as before the current pregnancy, then you should be offered the option of either just having the a preventative IV antibiotics in labour without testing, or you should be offered the chance to have a Group B strep specific test in the current pregnancy to find out whether you're carrying Group B strep now, because the fact that you've carried it once doesn't necessarily mean that you will carry it forever. Group B strep can come and go, and as Alex says, do get in touch with Group B strep support. We have a helpline if you'd like to talk to someone, and if not, there's a wealth of information on our website, because knowing the facts and being able to plan ahead is absolutely the best way to protect your baby.
And then just picking up on a second point, which I thought was quite an important point, is about the impact of antibiotics. So it would be helpful, obviously, as far within from your side and knowledge about the risks to the mum, to the baby, of taking the antibiotics compared to the risks of not taking them, as Alex said, that was no one ever explained about. Well, what happens if she decided not to take them, and to explain to the listeners about the importance of why it's important.
Yes, I think sometimes health professionals don't talk about what the risks are if you don't have the antibiotics. I mean, some do. Please don't hear that they don't. But I think sometimes it's so obvious to them, and like all of us, when things are obvious to us, we don't always explain in detail to somebody else. Because the risks, if you don't take the antibiotics, are fundamentally that there is a much higher chance of your baby developing a severe infection, an infection like sepsis, pneumonia, meningitis, each of which in its own right can be life-threatening. And actually, they often come in combination. So often it's sepsis and meningitis, or sepsis and pneumonia. And thankfully, most of these babies will survive, but some won't. Some will recover with long-term disabilities, for example, cerebral palsy. And regardless, these babies are going to require stays in special care and neonatal intensive care units. And I think every parent would want to avoid that for their child if they possibly could. There are always risks with taking antibiotics. It's not a completely risk-free option. The biggest concerns are around mum having a major allergic reaction to the antibiotic. And if you have a major allergic reaction when you're pregnant, then there's a can be a knock-on effect to the baby. So it can be bad for you and for your baby. Having said that, the antibiotic that is recommended in labour is penicillin. And most of us will know by the time we come to give birth whether or not we're allergic to penicillin. So if you are allergic to penicillin or you've ever had any adverse reactions, it's hugely important to make sure your health team know, because there are alternatives that can be given. So if you are allergic to penicillin, that's a really good thing to flag up. And the risk of anaphylaxis is absolutely tiny. There was some research that was done in the States where they've been testing pregnant women and people routinely for decades giving IV penicillin typically, or ampicillin in labour. for those who are carrying Group B strep for a really long time. And they did a study looking at 8 million pregnant women and people who had been given IV antibiotics, and there had been no fatal anaphylaxis. So, you know, the risk is very small. The other risk that people are always concerned about is antibiotic resistance developing. And that's something that everybody needs to be concerned about and keep on the radar. Having said that, so far that's not happening with Group B strep, despite it being used around the world for decades against Group B strep. But it is absolutely something that we need to keep an eye on. Penicillin won't work forever against Group B strep. So we do need to be looking to the future about what alternatives there are. And then for completeness, the other one that has been coming up more recently is concerns about the impact of IV antibiotics on the baby's and the mother's microbiome, and concerns that the antibiotics will not only do good stuff at killing Group B strep, but it will also kill other bacteria that it would be good to keep hold of, both in the baby and the mum. And there's a lot of research going on into that at the moment. And the research that's come out so far suggests that when you are looking at the short, sharp doses of antibiotics for Group B strep, so these are given in labour, typically with penicillin, 4-hourly intervals until the baby is born. So it's not over however long it feels at the time. It's not over a hugely long period. That any changes to the baby's microbiome are resolved really quite quickly, within the first, depending on which research paper you look at, you know, 6 to 12 weeks, and that some of those impacts are reduced in babies that are breastfeeding. So there are ways that we can help to address those. But those tend to be the major concerns. And I guess it's about informed choice. It's about making sure pregnant women and people know what the risks are and what the benefits are, and then coming to an informed decision about what's right for them and their baby.
And I think that's it. As you said, I think the fear with regards to any reaction to antibiotics, as you pointed out, is the element that most people will have had antibiotics that have contained penicillin in it. And that's the reaction. It's not as if the antibiotics for GBS are very different to antibiotics that people receive during their life. And if you've had a reaction to penicillin, as you said, there are alternatives. And informing your care team for your pregnancy about your allergy to penicillin should be at the top of the priority list, as well as the GBS point. So they should come, by the sounds of it, from what you're saying, in hand, and that therefore then the risk is obviously substantially mitigated on that point. We've already gone through, in a sense, by answering that question about the preventative measures that can be taken during labour. But just to expand just a little bit to the listeners about, so what happens on that journey? So they get told, like Alex did, that they've got GBS. What's then the next steps that would happen that you would expect to happen in terms of the journey to the pregnancy?
Typically, somebody will be told that the Group B strep has been grown on a swab, an incidental swab that's been done for other reasons, you know, vaginal discharge or, you know, symptoms or whatever. There's no treatment recommended at the time because, as I said before, Group B strep at carriage is normal. You know, it doesn't need treating, but it does mean that they should be offered IV antibiotics in labour as preventative medicine for the baby. And those IV antibiotics are started as soon as possible once labour has started. And then for penicillin, those are repeated. They're given IV, typically in the hand or the arm, and then they're repeated at 4-hourly intervals until the baby is born. There are other situations that would prompt the offer of the IV antibiotics too. So if you've previously had a baby who developed a Group B strep infection, then you won't be offered a test or any additional care in that regard, but you absolutely should routinely be offered the IV antibiotics in labour. And then the other risk factors, other known risk factors that raise the chance of a baby developing a Group B strep infection is labour starting early, so before 37 completed weeks of pregnancy, or mum having a high temperature in labour. And again, if either of those happen, then the IV antibiotics should be offered as a matter of course, regardless of whether you've had a Group B strep test or not. There is another risk factor for Group B strep infection in the newborn, and that is having the waters having broken a long time before the baby is born, so over 24 hours. And that's a recognised risk factor for Group B strep, but it doesn't automatically trigger the offer of the IV antibiotics. Then labour is often a evolving picture, and everything will need to be taken into account. So at the moment in the UK, the NHS doesn't routinely offer testing for Group B strep to pregnant women and people. They use the risk-based approach.
And I was just going to just pick up on that. So they do you mentioned about the others that fall within the category of antibiotics given, and both you and Alex have mentioned about the fact of the incidental findings. Is there any specific requirements to test in any category of people for the presence of GBSS, or is it always more likely to be an incidental finding?
At the moment, it's more likely to be an incidental finding, and you're absolutely right. If Group B strep is found in any way, shape or form during the current pregnancy, then IV antibiotics should be offered from the start of labour. The only situation that there is a recommendation from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists that a woman or pregnant person should be offered a Group B strep specific test, and is where she carried Group B strep in a previous pregnancy and the baby was well. And in that situation, the guideline says she should be offered either just having the IV antibiotics in labour, so assuming she's still carrying Group B strep, or her having the option to have a Group B strep specific test late in pregnancy, typically 35 to 37 weeks, so in the last 5 weeks of pregnancy, to find out if she's still carrying Group B strep, because Group B strep carriage status can change. And then if the test is positive, then obviously still being offered the IV antibiotics in labour. But if it's negative, then decide against having the IV antibiotics in labour. And it's always a choice, whether you have a positive test or a negative test result. It is the individual's choice as to whether or not they want to go ahead with the IV antibiotics.
And then just picking up on one of those points, I think for listeners, because sometimes obviously birth doesn't go to plan and sometimes labour can happen very quickly and the child can deliver much more quickly than anticipated. So what, as you know, from your experience and your knowledge, what happens in terms of where a mother's gone through labour and but there wasn't time to give antibiotics? What happens in those circumstances?
Again, there are clear recommendations both from NICE and from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists. So if the baby is well and if mum is well, then there's a period of observations over and above the standard observations that all babies will have. But obviously the information about what happened during the birth and the pregnancy will be passed on to the people who are caring for mum and baby postnatally. So if there are any concerns about the baby not being quite as well as one would hope, or if there are concerns about the baby, about the mother, then there's usually a low threshold for, let's either give antibiotics or let's look more closely. Because clearly we don't want to be giving antibiotics unnecessarily. We want to be giving them where they're going to make a difference.
And do you think there's any gaps in the policy or the awareness of GBS that you're currently working to address, or that needs to be worked on to be addressed?
Yes, I believe there are quite a few gaps, unfortunately. I mean, firstly, I think a gap is that all pregnant women and people should be offered the option of a Group B strep specific test during pregnancy, like happens in most high income countries, and that's not happening here. And really importantly, that the right test should be used, so not the non-specific high vaginal swab that is often used within the NHS, unfortunately. So it does need, if you're testing for Group B strep, it needs to be a low vaginal and a rectal swab. And then those samples cultured with an additional enrichment step in the lab before the result is determined. So that unfortunately doesn't yet happen routinely in the NHS. So it's really important that when clinicians are sending samples off to be tested for Group B strep, that they write on the forms that, you know, this is a test in somebody who's pregnant and we're specifically looking for Group B strep, because that will guide the laboratory. As recommended in the RCOG's last guideline, every pregnant woman and person should be provided with high quality information on Group B strep. And we know that's not happening. It's wonderful when it does, but we absolutely know that that is not happening. And then last but by no means least, every baby's Group B strep infection should be recorded, so we know the true scale of the problem. At the moment, Group B strep is not a notifiable disease in England, Wales and Scotland. And so the data that are presented on the incidence of Group B strep infection is by routinely collected data. It's not notifiable. So all of those things, I believe, need to change. And GBSS continues to campaign for better guidelines, consistent care. It can be a bit of a postcode lottery. Improved professional training, making GBS a notifiable disease, and raising awareness across the UK through podcasts like this.
And Alex, do you have any specific questions that you think would be helpful to you on your journey that you'd like to put to Jane?
Yeah, I would love to hear your advice, Jane, about how your birth plan might affect your care with Group B strep. So, for example, for those women who might be opting to have an elective cesarean section or end up having an emergency cesarean section, does the advice change in any way in comparison to if you were having a vaginal delivery?
Great question. And I have a personal bugbear with birth plans. I think they should be birth wish lists, because so much can change during labour, and things. It's less of a plan than an initial roadmap, which may or may not be adhered to. Possible to be adhered to. Where there's an elective cesarean birth, the trigger for the IV antibiotics doesn't actually happen, because the trigger for the IV antibiotics is labour starting or waters breaking at term. So with an elective, sometimes we hear at the charity on the helpline, you know, should I be testing, or I want to be testing, can I, or whatever. And it's still potentially really useful information to have as part of that information jigsaw that happens around birth. It's another piece of information that can be very useful, so that if a baby is just a bit off colour, or it's grunting, or it's not doing quite what you expect a newborn baby to be doing, then knowing mum's Group B strep status can be really helpful. If there's an emergency cesarean, then clearly there are lots of other factors that have to be taken into account. So the Group B strep issue is still potentially relevant, but with both elective and emergency cesareans, IV antibiotics will be given just before the incision anyway. Those are aimed much more at protecting the mum, because they don't really have time to cross to the baby in significant amounts. But it's really important to flag, you know, if you know you're carrying group B strep this pregnancy, is if either of those situations arise, just flag it up to your health team. Because we know the IV antibiotics in labor, our bodies are miraculous. You know, the IV antibiotics start crossing to the baby literally within minutes. But they take a little while to set up therapeutic levels in the baby so that the baby can be stopping any infection developing, which is why the recommendation is, if you can, I mean, the IV antibiotics should be started as soon as possible once labor starts. And in an ideal world, you will have had that first dose at least 4 hours before the baby is born, which is usually manageable, not always, but usually manageable. And research from the States shows that that can reduce the chance of a baby developing an early onset group B strep infection when born to someone who's carrying group B strep by around 80%. So it's hugely effective preventative medicine.
No, I think that answers my question. I think really it just shows that being a group B strep carrier shouldn't be an indicator for your birth plan. You know, there's protection and antibiotics offered either way you go. And so mums shouldn't be concerned about altering their birth plan. The birth plan will be tailored if they are a carrier.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we get asked a fair amount is whether an individual, if they want a water birth, is that manageable with group B strep? And the answer to that is yes. Again, discuss it with your health team first. But yeah, absolutely. We've seen creative solutions with gloves, marigold gloves, sort of covering up where the cannula is. But having a water birth doesn't become impossible just because you're carrying group B strep. You and 20 to 25% of the rest of the population.
Importantly, Jane, so how do people get in touch with Group B strep support?
We have a website, which is gbss.org.uk. We're on a variety of social media, including Facebook, Insta, LinkedIn, TikTok. So contact us through there. And we also have a helpline. The number for that is 0330 120 0796.
In essence, prevention really comes down to awareness, planning, and making sure families feel supported by their care teams. That brings us to the end of today's episode. A huge thank you to Jane for sharing her expertise and for Alex for bravely sharing her personal journey. If you'd like to hear more about Group B strep or access support, you can visit the GBS website or, as Jane provided, contact them through their helpline. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back soon with more conversations to help raise awareness and support families affected by GBS. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Take care.